Blog Talk Radio.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, no concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way. A letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, no concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way.
Movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life. This is movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life.
Word is
any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussy-footing, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay, or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible. And any time you find the government involved in a conspiracy,
I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. Fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfucker, upmade me out of self-righteous hatred. And now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, are you not ready?
DJ Tony Drake.
This is DJ Tony Drake, a.k.a. Mr. Top Shelf himself. And right now, you're in tune to Your World News, where journalism and activism are not mutually exclusive. Here on yourworldnews.org.
You can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness ever since the Declaration of Independence. We've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading you? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years, they're prejudiced. Foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Welcome to another edition of Your World News. I'm your host, Solomon. Once again, I'm joined in studio by our student correspondent for Your World News, Mr. Tim Baudoff Lynchen, and it is the 8th day of October in the year 2012, and if you have been living in America, or I should say more appropriately, living in the United States long enough, because we know that America is a reference to the entire Western Hemisphere. But if you've been living in what's now commonly known as the United States, some people say the United Snakes, long enough, you know that it is the second Monday of October, which means that this is the celebration of one of the most brutal, vicious, rapists, murderers, mutilators, biggest champions of the African slave trade ever known to man, and that is Christopher Columbus, or his real name was Cristobal Colon, but, you know, for this show we'll say Christopher Columbus, since that's what a lot of folks are, you know, the holiday is commonly, you know, named Columbus Day. So we're gonna stay on that common accord, but we're gonna talk about the brutalness of Cristobal Colon, Christopher Columbus, if you will. We're gonna be deconstructing the man himself, the better to be called the devil himself, devil on 2 feet. Deconstructing him and using it as a point of departure to even have a deeper discussion: what kind of society, what kind of country would honor the life of such a devil, of such a brutal individual that cut the hands off of 14-year-old boys, you know, if they didn't bring enough gold, that raped, you know, countless women and allowed his men to rape countless women, to throw babies into, you know, the dens of their hounds, you know, that they had with them, to throw the emaciated and weak men, you know, live into you know pits, you know, full of hounds that would chew them and rip literally chew them to death and rip the flesh off of their bodies. You know, the man who he and his men, you know, Columbus was, you know, who tested out how sharp their swords and rapiers were on the bodies of indigenous people, you know, throughout different parts of the Americas. And he never stepped foot on what's now known as North America, but, you know, that's a little piece of that revisionist history that a lot of folks like to put out there or omit, as if he actually stepped foot on North American soil. But he was in the Americas, and wherever he went, whether it was Puerto Rico or what's known as Cuba today or Trinidad, he brought hell with him. He brought hell with him. So we're going to be deconstructing that. But before we do, this is since I'm a man of hip hop and was inspired by the golden era of hip hop in the true fashion of hip hop, I want to get this show kicked off with a song that is owed to that devil himself, Christopher Columbus, and this is by my man Head Rock out of DC, the father of DC hip hop, and this song is called Chris Columbus. So on the other end, we'll get things started. So here's Head Rock with Chris Columbus.
Chris Columbus, the man of his time, slaughtered Arawak natives to further his kind, and they stayed of mind. And their take on the divine allowed them to be so inclined to send ships with guns, filled with men with swords, so filled with the love of the Lord that they do whatever's necessary for their position. Death is the decision when they on a mission. Death is the decision when they on a mission. What we talking about? Imperialism. Death is the decision when they on a mission. What we talking about?
Yeah. Imperialism.
Now, every second Monday in October, we hold a celebration for a Western soldier who brought over a culture manifestly destined to rule and take over. Funny how in the name of Jehovah, you're supposed to be the landowner more so than the first holder. Ask the natives to tell about the caravan next to the boulder. From what they told ya in high school about righteous conquest and brave explorers. Little revealed by the millions killed with the government will try to seal up the horror.
Hey, the superpowers locked in the chest back. The cool cats, they sit back to see who is this back. The this back, food attack. Promote armed attacks. We give packs, plus import crack. Now tell me what you think about that. Do it sound familiar to me too, cause then I feel ya. And all because I picked up a book and looked and was shook by the shit these books undook. Chris Columbus, the man of his time, slaughtered Arawak natives to further his kind, and they stayed of mind. His air they born to divine allowed them to be so inclined to send ships with guns, filled with men with swords, so filled with the love of the Lord that they do whatever's necessary for their position. Death is a decision when they on a mission. Death is a decision
about?
Imperialism.
Death is a decision when they on the mission. What we talking about?
Imperialism.
Hey, but not long after the shock of being enslaved, recovery efforts are made to educate the people to raise. Terrorizing the way, diabolical, physical, psychological, part of an economical interest, and ill-fated role in the existence of humanity, ultimate sin fact, the obliteration of race land, a savage little path to a civilized way, mix the big ghosts, five the great ghosts, killing the lingo, lustrous gringo, decimated families, the singles, me and Jose Alfa Santos, amigo, huh, and them sugar plantation, Jesus, souls of freedom, hit them drugs, it's time to beat them, teach them, got the blood, tear for the love of who we are.
Columbus and Columbus, and let's get it started. If anyone wants to call in that's listening live right now, the number, the caller number is 347-945-5191. That's 347-945-5191. Tim, you're somewhat new to the soil of the United States. You know, you've been here for a couple years now, you know, as a student. As a college student, what, you know, you've learned a lot about the real Christopher Columbus and his exploits and his devilish deeds. Wanted to, you know, ask you a question. What are your, you know, what are your thoughts about Columbus? Well, yeah, we'll start off there. What are your thoughts about this man and what he did and what do you think the general consensus is amongst, you know, your peers who are also college students on the campus of University of Maryland?
I think your description of him as a devil could not be more accurate. This man is directly responsible for either directly participating in or overseeing the death of 14.5 million people. 14.5 million. And in the country where I'm from, as most people know, in their history, Hitler was responsible for around the death of 6 million people. So if in my country, Germany, someone suggested having a Hitler Day, a national holiday, to celebrate a genocidal murderer and rapist, people would look at that person as a Nazi, as someone that glorifies death and is completely out of their mind. But that is exactly what this country views Columbus as. They view him as someone that should be celebrated with a holiday, someone that, you know, advanced the U.S. and should be celebrated as a milestone in the U.S. history. But given what Columbus has done, that just shows just how detached people are from the true history. And talking about college students, a lot of the college students don't even know what Columbus has actually done and will blindly celebrate this holiday, not knowing that they're celebrating a murderer of millions and millions of people.
Do you find that, you know, those that don't know who Columbus was, you know, and what he did, do you find that they routinely, you know, will make excuses, or are they the vast majority of them, are they open to listening to alternative narratives? And I hate to even say not alternative narratives, but yeah, I guess alternative narratives that are anchored with factual information and data that that describes, you know, the other side of Columbus, the other things that he did that are antithetical to, you know, how he's put out there, how he's celebrated. There's some towns and municipalities right now in America that are in the United States, I should say the United States, that are you know, as we speak, having, you know, parades and celebrations and kids right now. Well, I guess most schools are you know, they're shut down because it's a federally, nationally recognized holiday, so most kids are not in school. So tomorrow, perhaps, or even last week on Friday, they probably were taught by their teachers that, hey, you know, coming up is Columbus Day, it's on Monday, and this is what, you know, Columbus, he sailed the ocean blue, and this, that, and the other. You know, do you find them, your peers, at least open to discussing and deconstructing Columbus himself and his actions?
You bring up a very good point, because a lot of my peers, even when they're exposed to the narrative of all the death and destruction and the rape that Columbus has caused, still argue with me and try to put him in a positive light and see him in a more balanced view, saying, why don't you look at some of the positive contributions that Columbus has brought through the history of this country?
What positive things would what positive things would those be? You know, please enlighten me.
They tried to argue that, you know, if it wasn't for Columbus, white people, that they would not be living in America right now. But that's exactly a great point, because we know that Africans came to the Americas way before Columbus even got there. But the way in which they interacted with the indigenous people was completely different. They brought gifts, ships and ships of gold, which is why when Columbus got to the Americas, he encountered indigenous people with gold-tipped spears who said that they had gotten these gifts from dark-skinned people with woolly hair, which is proof that Africans were in the Americas far before Europeans. But when the Europeans got there, Columbus said in his diaries, I could easily conquer these benevolent people with 50 men. So his intentions were clear right from the start. And there are no, you cannot focus on any positive contributions, which to me there are none, of this man, just as you cannot concentrate on positive contributions of a man like Hitler, who killed 6 million people. But some people, you know, might want to argue that he was beneficial to the German economy, but given the death and destruction he caused, that puts those positive, if you can call them that, contributions in a minuscule position that you should not even be taking into account.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, and you know, let us not be remiss in terms of you know, giving some resources for those that, if this information is new to you, you know, that, you know, you could, you know, you can read, for instance, James Lowen's Lies My Teacher Told Me. There's also Howard Zinn has written a lot about Columbus and People's History of the United States. People's History of the United States. You know, it's you can find it online at Amazon. You know, other bookstores. You know, you can order it. People's History of the United States. Lies My Teacher Told Me. You can even, if you're in the D.C. area, you can go to the National Archives. You can read some of the annals that were written by, you know, the priest that accompanied Columbus, Bartholomew de las Casas, and write what, you know, or I should say read what he wrote, and when he started to witness some of these atrocities. I'm not going to dress him up as this you know, benevolent guy, but you know, these murderous atrocities became a little bit too much for his consciousness, and he wrote very vividly the brutal barbaric crimes that Columbus and his men inflicted upon indigenous people throughout the Americas. You know, feeding, like you said, you know, just barbarism, you know, and you know, when, you know, oftentimes when they cut somebody's hand off, whether it's a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old boy, they bled to death. It wasn't like they could go to, you know, so and so hospital around the corner, General Hospital. They couldn't. They would bleed to death. They bled to death, and that's that should be known. Tim, you brought up the fact that Columbus was responsible for you know, the direct killing of about 14 million indigenous people, and you compared and contrasted that to Hitler, who was responsible, you know, for about 6 million, and but yet here in America there's a federal holiday honoring his life. And we know that there, every year there are movements, there are people there led by indigenous people to strike down this holiday, led to, you know, protesting to strike down this holiday. And we know that there are, you know, there are states, I believe it's such as North Dakota. And I don't know if South Dakota has followed suit. That's why I want to, you know, but we know that there are states that have gotten rid of Columbus Day and replaced it with Indigenous Peoples Day. We know that Brown University and Evergreen College in Olympia, Washington, but Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, have the students there have fought to get Columbus Day replaced with something more humane, and they were successful in their struggle to do that. So it's not like this is just like, you know, this fringe group of people. It's the U.S. mainstream, so-called mainstream society, and the corporate media, and I say mainstream society, that's most public schools, they would have you believe that, oh, it's, you know, there's you know, a couple people that protest, but really not a lot. That's not the case. There's a lot of people that know the history of Columbus, and they protest year in and year out. But this country, Tim, continues to, president after president, continues to bring up no national dialogue regarding Columbus. Why do you think that's the case? That no, including this brown-faced pirate, otherwise known as Barack Obama. I mean, if Barack Obama is not going to talk about black suffering, why would he talk about, you know, the systematic mass murders of indigenous people? Why would he even bring that up and bring up the notion that, you know, if we want to become a more sane and humane society, then we'll move away from the glorification of these demigods, like such as that were nothing short of devils on planet Earth, such as Christopher Columbus and Andrew Jackson. Like but just even starting at Christopher Columbus, why do you think that's the case? Why do you think that's the case?
I mean, to people who know about the true history of the establishment of the United States of America, this should come as no surprise, since this country was founded on racism, genocide, and exploited stolen labor from Africa. So if you take into account those things, it is no surprise that they would champion a man that was true to exactly those principles. Why would they not want to champion someone that partook in the brutal establishment of this country that was ripped from indigenous people who were massacred by the millions? It is exactly because this country is founded on racism and all those things that presidents even to this day continue to champion the people that were involved in that foundation, including people like the so-called founding fathers who themselves had slaves and whose faces are seen on U.S. currency. This is something that runs deep in U.S. society and has been part of it since the very beginning.
Would you say that the U.S. is complicit in Columbus Day because perhaps maybe they also are committing atrocities in lands far, far away, and we can even make the claim, you know, lives that are even, you know, right here within the belly of the beast. You know, we look at police brutality, but let's look at U.S. foreign policy. How would you liken? How would you compare and contrast U.S. foreign policy and what it's done to people in places like Afghanistan, Libya, Pakistan? How would you compare and compare that to what Columbus did?
I think that's a great analogy, because the same ideology that Columbus had going over to the Americas is the same ideology that our politicians have going into other countries. Right now, we have, not we, but the U.S. government has a drone program that kills around 85% civilians, people of color, in Pakistan, for example, where this week tens of thousands of people took to the street to protest against the U.S. drone program, which, of course, was not covered by the corporate media because it is not supposed to reach the minds of the average American in this country. When you look at Libya, where NATO used cluster bombs, which are bombs which spread out trying to kill as many civilians as possible, we see the death and destruction that the U.S. government caused there as well through AFRICOM, you know, having military bases in over 50 African countries just to so-called advance U.S. interests there militarily, and which is today's form of colonization. You know, we have neo-colonization with corporations that economically starve people over the long term and cause death and destruction that way. But even to this day, the U.S. is the country with the most military bases in the world and continues to cause massive death and destruction to civilians, especially people of color all over the world, just like Christopher Columbus did.
That's right. And what's interesting is, like, last week, the corporate media did not report that all across Pakistan there were, you know, protests throughout Pakistan, across that country, where people got out in the tens of the thousands to protest the U.S. drone strikes and its drone program, you know, which they've unleashed, you know, bloody hell, death and destruction throughout, you know, parts of Pakistan. And people are petrified, and they got out in large numbers to protest that. But of course, the Western media, the U.S. media would not, you know, promulgate this story in any shape, form, or fashion, because, you know, they're sycophants. They have a lot of blood on their hands. They've got a lot of blood drenched all over their hands, all over their faces. They're swimming in the blood of those who have been killed by way of U.S., you know, indiscriminate foreign policy. So, of course, CNN and MSNBC, Fox, ABC, and the like, CBS, they're not going to report that. They're not going to report that. They want to put the narrative out as if this drone program is precise, it's precision, it is you know, it takes out the so-called quote unquote terrorists, you know, and Taliban and that are targeted. But Tim, you know, we know that, you know, especially with this new study by Stanford University and New York University, that's just not the case. That's not the case.
Right.
Like, over 90% of the people that are killed, over 90% of the people that are killed are civilians. So I want folks to think about that. We're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to this clip from this movie that I recently had the honor of partaking in a screening of this movie that was made a couple of years ago called The Canary Effect. And so I'm going to play this, and on the other end, Tim, we're going to revisit this conversation and get into some more comparisons, contrast, and hopefully some thought-provoking analysis that can go a long way towards us posthumously destroying, you know, Christopher Columbus himself.
Everybody thinks of 1492 as some magic date in which Columbus discovered, quote, America. But Columbus was in the Caribbean, and he never at any time came to the United States.
No, he never was near the continental mass of America. He, the great navigator that he was, you know, who washed up on a beach in the Caribbean, half a world away from where he thought he was, gets known as the great navigator. The navigator could never find his way from the island to the mainland. He couldn't discover the continent.
Oh, I think it is rather surprising that they should have reddish-brown skins.
But now since we have landed in India, then these people must be Indians.
It's very interesting that Columbus's first comments regarding the Native American or the indigenous people was that they were very loving, giving. They would trade or give anything that they had. They were without malice, without guile. The whole concept that Columbus thought these were savage people was totally incorrect.
Part of India, San Salvador, and I take possession of it in the name of the King and Queen of Spain.
It's hard to discover an occupied territory. I often go for the first time to visit people who have moved into the area. It may be the first time I've been to their living room, but I can hardly say I discovered it. I mean, after all, they lived there. Much less can I extrapolate by virtue of my noble achievement of knocking on their door that somehow or another the newly discovered living room becomes mine.
The general consensus is that Spain came for God, glory, and gold, and God being that they were going to spread the Catholic religion, glory because they were going to add more land to the crown, and of course gold because they were going to get rich.
Columbus had no trouble getting ships and men for his second voyage, but he still hadn't the slightest idea that he was headed for the vast continent of America.
They issued documents to the native people to be read to the native people, saying if you don't convert to Catholicism and give us the gold, we will do all types of harm to you. We will kill your families. We will take your land. We will enslave you. And when native people didn't tell them where the gold was, or in many cases didn't know where the gold was, the Spanish simply tortured these people. They burned them at the stake alive. They had large hunting dogs that they fed the Indians to. It was death and destruction.
Bartolome de las Casas, who was there during Columbus's tenure as governor of the island, placed the beginning population at about 3 million. 20th century historical demographic studies had placed it as high as 8.5 million. Whatever the reality actually was, it had been reduced to about 100,000 by the time he left, and by 1550, it was gone. Extinct. Columbus is symbolic, but what Columbus symbolizes is hideous. Columbus being valorized in the mythology of the United States is roughly the same as Germany valorizing Heinrich Himmler now, and then teaching this to Jewish students as well as German students, and conditioning them to accept it.
But each year on October 12th, we celebrate Columbus Day, the anniversary of that day in 1492, when Columbus first sighted the land of the New World, America.
So that was a clip from the Canary Effect. And what you didn't see from that clip that we just aired is that they had chunks of information that you could read on the screen that really broke down some of the barbarity that Columbus and his men, that they committed, I should say, directly committed. They were animals. We were told that these people were savages. Who came up with the whole myth, that they were savages? Well, it was these Europeans, whether it was the Spaniards or the British or just Euro-Americans in general. The narrative that Native Americans were savages and they needed to be civilized. Well, civilized, what's the root word of that? Civil? I mean, hanging people like as if you were cooking them in an open spit. Like they would hang men, women, and children. They would hang them, you know, from above, and below they would, as they hung, they would be roasting with a fire underneath them, a fire right underneath them, as if they were cooking hot dogs, you know, on an open flame. But in this case, they were cooking indigenous people, Native Americans. They were cooking them. And so what part of civil and civilization does that have to do with anything? It has nothing to do with it. It's just that the people that label that were devils at heart. They were devils at heart. Anyone that supports that notion is a devil at heart. And the overarching reason to do that, to label these people as barbarians and savages to be civilized. And as we know, they did the same thing with Africans. I mean, they did it pretty much wherever they went. I mean, Tasmania, Australia. I mean, you know, anywhere Europeans went, this is what they did. But here in the U.S., I mean, it was, and then make movies. You know, you have John Wayne, you know, on horseback, and he's supposed to be the hero, and all the, you know, all the little, you know, red, you know, red little Indians running around. You know, they are these savages, and they're going, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, they're doing that kind of thing. You know, what that does is that sets the pretext, that sets the context, that sets the notion in place. It is putting the propaganda everywhere around you. So you read about it, you hear about it, and you see it in the movies. So it must be true. So what was done to these people was done justifiably. They were savages. They had to be put down. Some of them had to be put down like animals. That's what they had to do, put down like rabid dogs. That's what the narrative that's what the narrative justifies. It signifies all of that, and we know it's all bloody lies. Like, and I emphasize the word bloody. It's all bloody lies, and they continue to be told today, to this day, and the people that are honored continue to be demon-like, devil-like individuals. People that committed these atrocities. How can you say that their actions are not devilish? How can anyone, even for a second, think that I'm saying something that's radical by calling these people devils? You know what I'm saying? These individuals that carried out these atrocities and supported these atrocities, they were devils. And no doubt that if there's any justice whatsoever in the afterlife, these people are roasting right now in some place called hell, roasting quite well in hell. So, you know, that must be said, and you know, any country that would support this, any country. I see, you know what, we have a caller. I want to have our caller come on, you know, and share some thoughts, and maybe they have a question. I'm not sure. Caller on line one. You have a comment or a question?
No, brother. No, how you doing?
Pretty good.
No, you're on point. I'm just listening and absorbing it. I'm going to put that in my show later on. I was thinking about that.
Okay, there you go. All right. Okay. Thanks for listening in.
Thanks, man.
So I'm glad to know that, we got some other individuals who are on the show, who are listening right now, who have received this information, you know, probably years ago, and are doing their job educating their friends, families, loved ones, and community. But Tim, it's beyond sick, you know. And you can't be labeled a radical by calling this out, by saying these actions are demon-like, these actions are devil-like, because that's exactly what they are. And you can't, you know what I'm saying, if you justify it, you need to look yourself in the mirror. If you need to justify it and think that people, you know, that protest this holiday are going too far, then you need to look yourself real long and hard in the mirror. And you know what? Go, you know, and next time you go to church on Sunday, you know, get up, you know what I'm saying, off your knees after you get through praying, and you hold up that Bible, that numerously rewritten Bible that was, you know, imposed upon, you know, people of color, but that's a whole other story, another show to be done at another time. But you get up and you tell them, I support mass murder. I support serial killers. I support it because, you know what, I support Christopher Columbus. Say it. But if you wouldn't say that in your church or your synagogue or your mosque, whatever, if you wouldn't say that, you know, in openly out in public, even if you're not religious, if you wouldn't say that, then why would you support this holiday? Why would you support that holiday unless you're a damn fool? Unless you're a damn fool, or you just have a heart that is filled with coal and is soulfully dead. And so, Tim, as we look at U.S. foreign policy, we expand it. So many of us continue to support U.S. foreign policy. So why not? You know, you support Columbus, and therefore it lays the ground. You support Columbus, you support George Washington, you support a lot of vile human beings, you know, that were owners of Africans as shadow property. There were slaveholders. They were killers of Native Americans. It sets in line with what is being done right now in Central Asia, what has been done in North Africa, what has been done and is being done in East Africa, what is being done in Yemen, what is being done in so many different places around the world, and what has been done in Latin America, you know, with the U.S. supporting the Contras, these death squads that just marched through, you know, different places in Central America, massacring anybody that was, you know, opposed to the brutal regimes that were in place, and anybody that was in support of a more socialist, you know, democracy, you know, they were brutally put down like animals, you know. So, you know, many of us support these narratives right now with U.S. foreign policy, and but I want to let folks know. There are people right now, and I'll turn it over to you, Tim, but there are people right now, folks, and there are people who have been children, little girls, little boys, elderly women, pregnant women, men, who have been struck down by drones, by indiscriminate drones that were launched from the air, controlled by places like Langley CIA headquarters or Nevada, somewhere in Nevada, and they're controlled there, and they drop these missiles, these drones that obliterate not just villages but anyone in those villages at that time, tear them to pieces, obliterate children, and yes, even President Barack Obama, the brown-faced pirate, I like to call him, has committed more drone attacks than any president in history. Obviously, it started pretty much under the Bush regime, but in 1 year alone, Obama committed more drone attacks on civilians throughout Central Asia than did Bush in his entire two-term presidency. Tim?
I think we should also highlight that Columbus was the reason for the African slave trade to even begin, because when he arrived on these islands and wiped out almost the entire indigenous population there, he then ran out of labor because he had no one to mine that gold or to work the plantation. So that's where he started bringing in African slave labor, stole Africans from the motherland, and initiated the whole African diaspora. So he is not only directly responsible for those 14 million deaths, but also all the deaths that African slavery in the Americas has caused after its beginning, since he was the person that initiated that. So indirectly, he is responsible for even more millions of people's deaths throughout the world.
That's right. That's right. It's really important, folks. All you got to do is get on the computer. You can actually Google. If you just go to Google and just type in Zinn, Z-I-N-N, space Columbus, you know, you can read a very lengthy piece where they have chapter one from People's History of the U.S. By Howard Zinn, and it's chapter one. It's called Columbus, the Indians, and Human Progress, and it's. And you can get the truth there. You know, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe, you know, that Tim and I are telling you the truth, then you can go there and you start to do the homework yourself. Start to do the homework yourself. And as you do the homework, if you still believe the lie, then you know, You know, all I can say is good luck to you. Good luck to you, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it, because you've lost your humanity, and you're not trying to recover it in any shape, form, or fashion. You know, we need to question this. We need to bring this up at PTA meetings. We need to bring this up at school board meetings, because this poison, these lies, this poison is being passed down to your kids. Regardless of what color they are, it's being passed down to your kids. If your kids are being taught that Columbus sailed the ocean blue and that's all they know about Columbus, and they go around thinking that you know, just subconsciously thinking that Columbus was a good man by default because he had a holiday, because, you know, why would a holiday be given to somebody that was a devil, who was a wretched human being? Why would that, you know, if they're walking around with that notion, God bless your kids, man. Hopefully, if they can't get it from you, that hopefully somewhere around the line they'll get that humanity. But you, those folks who are parents, who are in communities, who have nieces and nephews, who work with kids, you have a responsibility to stop the madness by being that inconvenient hero. Stand up on your feet. Stand up. You know what I'm saying? Upright. Stand up, you know what I'm saying? And I use the word stand up, you know what I'm saying, figuratively. You know what I'm saying? But stand up consciously, okay? Even if, you know what I'm saying, so I stand up for something. You know what I'm saying? Not physically stand up, but stand up. Have your conscience stand up and protest. We cannot have this blood being passed down to millions and millions of kids. Because all they're going to do is they're going to get that venom, and then they're going to subconsciously, you know, accept the narrative of a brutal murder, and it's even more sick than, you know, with children of color. Somebody who that if these children were alive, running around, if they were alive, come on, people, if you were of color and your kids were alive when Columbus, you know, got lost and brought that wave of hell with him, you know, to Cuba, to Puerto Rico, to Trinidad, and they were running around. What do you think Columbus would have done to them? Your kids would have either been raped, they would have had their hands cut off. Their lives as they knew it would be effectively over. OVER. They would have been over. What do you do? What do you do? Well, you take a stand. Yes, each individual has a responsibility. So let's take a look. Let's play another clip from this was from the Alanya show on RT. I mean, her show has since stopped, you know, because she's gone on to work for the Huffington Post. But this was a show, you know, she had where she welcomed on a Native American elder to break down some commonly untaught, you know, things about Columbus Day. So let's take a listen to this and then come back on the other side and talk a little bit more about Columbus as we move towards closing this show out. But this is how we at Your World News, this is what we do on this day. We don't celebrate murderers and rapists and pillagers and plunderers and mutilators. We don't celebrate them. What we do is we cast them to hell. We cast them to hell by telling the stories about them. So we cast them to hell, into eternal damnation. That's what we're doing. Columbus, if you're listening somewhere in the bowels of hell, we cast your monkey ass to hell, to eternal damnation. Hopefully you're burning right now and it hurts every single time that flame goes across your body. Hopefully that's what's going on right now. So that's what we do at Your World News.
The real history of Christopher Columbus is not something that our children learn in school. They're taught about the names of the ships in which he came over. Well, you got a catchy song to remember that 1492 is the year that he sailed the ocean blue. But no one tells our children that he also was the first slave trader of the Americans, that under his watch, genocide took place. And within 50 years, not a single original native inhabitant could be found on the island of Hispaniola. That he kept detailed diaries of the atrocities that he and his men committed, like killing babies for dog food, cutting people in half, just to test the sharpness of their swords, and having desires for 9 to 10-year-old girls whom they sold into sexual slavery. It's not a pleasant history, but it is the truth. So is it time that we rethink Columbus Day? Well, joining me from Texas to discuss it is Juan Lee Tate, the chapter advisor for the Central Texas American Indian Movement and the elder advisor for the Santa Barbara American Indian Movement. Juan Lee, thank you so much for joining me. So every year we celebrate Columbus Day, and I guess the part of it to me that I probably assume you find the most offensive or ignorant too is the fact that we still teach children that he discovered America. What about the people that were already here?
Alana, that to me is like walking into a grandmother's house today, walking up and taking her purse, dumping the contents on the floor and saying, look, I discovered this. It's mine. And the house that I discovered it in is mine. It's not discovery, it's theft. Unfortunately, the adults in this society also were taught the very same discovery myth that the children are being taught today. So most of the adults in this society believe the same myth. What we're after a change to be made in is a disregard the myth. Pick up the truth. The truth is easier to walk with. The truth is a firmer foundation. It will lead you forward in a better path than walking on a myth of discovery that is actually a fact of theft, murder, slavery, inhuman acts towards other humans.
Well, you're very right in that sense. You know, I was going to say, I think some people would say that, well, this is just too gruesome for children to learn. And obviously, when kids are of a young age, that's not when you start teaching them about the Holocaust. But at some point, you get to that part of history. At some point, you teach them about the Holocaust. You teach them about genocide in other countries. And so how come, when it comes to Christopher Columbus, when it comes to these the Bahamas and the island nations, Hispaniola, which now is Haiti and the Dominican Republic, we never are taught that history, definitely not in our regular schools, but probably not even in a lot of universities.
I think it's a thing of perpetuating a myth that America, and I say KKK when I say America, that America chooses to hold on to of a noble discovery to make a noble country. Nothing about the discovery has been noble. Nothing that has happened since the discovery has been noble. It's been a myth that has been full of murder, theft, lies, deceit, breaking of promises. The heroes that this country seems to found itself on and look upon as heroes that they put up for their school children to look at, they all seem to have blood on their hands. We look at Columbus, a hero to the American people. We look at Andrew Jackson, a hero as a president of the American people who actually sent the Cherokee on the Trail of Tears, and thousands of them died. We look at the terrible things that the big hero, Abraham Lincoln, did. Abraham Lincoln, the fine example of American hero. He ordered the biggest mass execution in the United States history, and it was of Native American people. There were 32 Dakota hanged by the order of Abraham Lincoln on one day in a public hanging with celebration to go with it. This nation holds on to these heroes with blood on their hands. And that's something the nation has to deal with itself. And the people make up the nation. And the people need to start looking realistically at who the nation is, where it's come from, what it's founded upon, and how it wishes to go forward. Does it wish to go forward with myth, or does it wish to go forward with truth?
Now, lastly, I think some people would say that perhaps you can't hold people like Christopher Columbus, who are from the 15th to 16th centuries, you can't hold them to the same standards as you would someone in the 21st century. For that reason, I guess that it's not so bad because at that point in time, everyone had slaves, right? What do you say to people to make that argument?
Well, you know, we have the same situation that has arisen with the murder of over 300 Sioux at Wounded Knee. When the 7th Cavalry attacked 300 unarmed men, women, and children and slaughtered them. And over 30 medals of honor were awarded to the soldiers who did the slaughter. When we approached the Senate Armed Forces Committee, then chaired by a Republican from Arizona, John McCain, about removing the medals, he said we couldn't hold those people responsible for acts that committed then because times were different then. Alana, wrong is wrong. everybody knows, every human being is knows in their heart that it is wrong to cut another human being in half. Everybody knows it is wrong to send 10-year-olds to have sex, as Columbus did. Everybody knows it is wrong to feed human beings to dogs. It doesn't matter if it's today or 500 years ago.
Yeah.
Humans know
what,
right from wrong.
Well, I'm sorry, we're out of time, but there are definitely a lot of people out there making that argument right now and actually calling for this holiday to definitely be rethought, and I absolutely think that there needs to be more education about the truth and what really happened here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
And with that, we have another caller who are going to welcome on line two. Caller from 917.
Hi, it's Saida. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you? Welcome to Your World News.
I love the concept of the show, and I had just thank you for having me. That's like, thank you for letting me call. I just wanted to say my son, when he was like in the second grade, was suspended from school because they were teaching that Christopher Columbus discovered America, and I was like, well, you know, that's not true. If people that are already there, you can't discover it. Like, maybe it was new to him, but people were already here. And, you know, the teacher was teaching, and he kept raising his hand, and he was like, but my mommy said, and finally they sent him to the principal's office because he stood his ground, and he ended up getting suspended. And we fought it, but it set the whole year off wrong because they looked at him as defiant, unruly, disrespectful, insubordinate. It was crazy, and it was just a lesson on how much they'll go to perpetuate lies. So it's sad.
Thank you very much for sharing that story with us. And I think that brings a lot of light into what type of education system educate our youth today. Could you maybe explain how later on in your son's education, how if he was still willing to speak up after being shut down by the administration, did that have an effect on him, or is he still speaking out like that?
It ultimately hurt my son because he just graduated from high school last June, and what it did was he was in second grade at the time, and what it did was it made him very indifferent on many levels about anything that was taught in school because it set the tone at 7 years old that what they're telling us is not true anyway, but yet by law we still have to send our kids there 6, 7, 8 hours out of a day. So my son was extremely dismissive, I think dismissive is probably, or indifferent of anything that was taught in school. And what it forced me to do and compelled me to do was really teach him at home, but I had to send him to school. And it just created a very adversarial environment. So I was so happy he finally graduated. I was like, oh, my God, this is over. But it set a very bad tone for his whole academic learning process. It was crazy.
Right. Was he receptive to you at home, to your teachings?
For the most part, he was. But then there's that parent-child, you know, dynamic, like I'm the mother. You know, then he goes through his teenage years. But at the end of the day, he respects me to the fullest. We argue like cats and dogs. My husband says I should be married to him. But he gets it. He totally gets it. He's like, Ma, they're a bunch of, you know, BSers anyway. But it taught him that he really needs to learn on his own. Don't accept what adults tell you. And it created a situation with him with authority. So it has affected other areas of his life, but I've taught him to question everything, much to my dismay at times, but I still taught him to question everything.
I appreciate that. I applaud you, you know, as a parent, what you did, because, you know, we have to look at, I mean, who knows what, you know, what great things that your son is undoubtedly going to go on to do, but, you know, he may be a parent himself one day, he may work with youth, and he can pass that, you know, even, you know, that history along. But what comes with that history is humanity. When you teach young people like your son, you know, the truth about certain things, and yeah, the painful truth about certain things, it brings them closer in touch with their humanity. It makes them more of a human being because it sets their moral compass that they're not going to, you know, so when they learn the truths and they ultimately learn not to celebrate anybody that carries out these kind of atrocities, whether it's somebody back then or present day. and it really sets in line their moral compass. And you know, not to be cliche, you know, the children are, you know, are the future. And if we are ever to have like a better society, that, you know, they'll look back and say, you know what, if it was wrong for Columbus to do those things to Native Americans way back then, you know, Native people of the Americas, you know, way back then in the late 1400s, early 1500s, then it's wrong to do those things to people today through war and other things. And I think that you've given your son like one of the most amazing gifts that I think a parent can give their child, you know, and everything that you've taught him is all wrapped up in love. It's love. That's why you love a child. That's why you love, you know, a human being is bringing them into contact with humanity, but just simply by exposing them to information. That's the best kind of, you know, education in my book is the exposure to the unknown, and especially exposing them to things, that narratives that are not commonly taught, but at the same time they're not commonly taught because we have we live in a society that's off kilter. But if it's going to be brought into the center, you know, it's going to be young people like your son that are going to help bring it back into the center, because, you know, unfortunately there's far too many adults like yourself and myself that, you know, are accepting of these narratives.
Right. So, well, thank you for just hearing me out. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. No doubt.
All right. So, Tim, that's a great call, and I really, really appreciate it when, you know, when parents, you know, like that, you know, and adults in general call in and just say that, you know what, I've taken the inconvenient hero route, and I spoke out. You know, I went down there and I advocated on behalf of my son and let my son know, listen, there is absolutely nothing wrong with what you said. And I had a situation like that myself a few years ago, a young black boy that I was mentoring at a school in the state of Maryland. He was in sixth grade at the time, and so I would go and I'd meet with him on a week-to-week basis, and we would have, you know, a conversation on a realm of things. But well, one day the week heading into Columbus Day week, Columbus Day, we had a conversation about Columbus, and, you know, because I looked through his library, Tim, and throughout his school's library, it was crazy. I mean, there was a book on, there was like this little cartoon book on, it was on Egypt, and all it was like, it was like on ancient Egypt, so it had all the cartoons of the pyramids and so forth. And I'm looking through it, and every single depiction of the ancient Egyptians, they were white, you know, with dirty brown hair, and I was like, and so we started to look, you know, so we had a conversation about that, and we looked further, and you know, the books that they had on Native Americans were, I mean, you had to laugh to keep from crying. It was just completely inaccurate. And so we started to have this conversation about Columbus, and he naturally, like kids do, kids ask questions that adults don't. Kids are very, very intuitive. They're critical thinkers, you know, from the standpoint they ask questions. Things don't make sense, they ask why, and they'll ask why, and they'll keep asking why. But I think that's great. You don't ever want to sting that away. You want them to keep that. So he asked, he's like, well, why would they have a holiday if he did all these things? Why? And I just tell him, I gave him the G version. I just said Columbus did some really bad things. I didn't even really explicitly say exactly what. I mean, he's a 6 year old. I mean, a sixth grader. You know, he's a sixth grader. So I didn't say that, you know, Columbus, you know, they cut babies up, cut people in half, and this, that, and the other. I just said that Columbus did some really bad things to people who had been living in these places thousands and thousands and thousands of years prior to Columbus's voyage and accidental landing, you know, on these places that, you know, he didn't discover, you know, talked about he didn't discover them and so forth. And so, anyways, long story short, the next week I came to visit him in school, and he said, you know, I was in class, and my teacher, she was talking about Columbus Day and I raised my, and she was talking about Columbus, you know, that he did all these good things. And I raised my hand. I said, well, he didn't do all these good things. Columbus hurt a lot of people, you know, and he thought he was in India. And that's why, you know, he didn't get here on purpose, and people were living here before that. And so he said that the teacher told him to shh, be quiet. You know, that's not true. That's not true. And it really, like, hurt his self-esteem. I mean, this is a young man who was just starting to come into his own, you know, and really starting to, you know, take it upon himself to read and to look at books that weren't assigned to him. You know, as the previous caller said, you know, you have to explore those books and those narratives outside of the classroom, outside of what your teacher gives you, because oftentimes, unless you have a really uniquely special teacher, you know, oftentimes teachers are going to get it wrong. They're going to teach in a way that was taught to them, and they're going to teach those same bloody lies that were taught to them. And so I requested a conference, a one-on-one conference with a teacher, and I sat down with her, and I said, you know, certainly you know this young man was not wrong, that Columbus did these things. Columbus did all these things. And you could tell she was, like, really kind of, like, threatened. And I, you know, just, like, threatened that someone would actually contest her narrative and her information. And she was, oh, well, I know that. And so she was obviously bullshitting me. She, you know, probably didn't know that. But she's like, oh, well, I know that. I was just kidding with him. You know, he knows I was kidding. I said, well, no, he doesn't know you were kidding. And you know, I don't know you were kidding, but he certainly doesn't know you were kidding. That was a teaching. That was a teachable moment. And if you didn't know that history, then that was an opportunity for you to let him have that opportunity to engage his classmates, and not to shush him, you know, so that he becomes hesitant to raise his hand again. I said, that is completely wrong, and I will continue to talk to him, and I will continue to give him alternative U.S. history and alternative history that unfortunately is not taught in these classrooms, and I'm sure he will continue to let me know, what is said to him in class. And if this happens again, I said, I will be going to the principal to have a conversation about this, because it's completely unacceptable for you as an educator, knowing, you know, and I knew she didn't know these things, perhaps, you know, but I just said anyways, knowing that these things happened, and for you to shush him and allow the rest of the kids in that classroom to continue to be wrongfully and inaccurately educated about Columbus as if he was a saint when he was the complete opposite. So, I just say all that to say, I thank that that parent for just calling in. As she says, you know, on the chat room, the lies run deep. They most certainly do. They run very, 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 very deep. And so, Tim, you're working on a media project for, and those of you that are listening, if this is your first time listening to Your World News, please like the show or send us an email offline. You can email me at solo, S-O-L-O, at yourworldnews.org. That's S-O-L-O. At yourworldnews.org. If you would like to be put on our listserv, we'll definitely put you on our listserv. We do video projects. And so, Tim, you know, you're the student correspondent, you're a college student. Later today, you're going to be doing a video project. You want to tell our listeners what you're going to be doing? It's centered around Columbus Day. You're going to be taking the camera out. Can you explain what you're going to be doing?
Right. We're located on the University of Maryland College Park campus right now. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going around interviewing people about their views on Columbus and this holiday to kind of see what generally the college student's perspective is like in America, given that, you know, college students are seen as, the most privileged and supposed to be the most educated people of society. But we're going to try and find out to see if that's actually the case in terms of knowing about Columbus.
And when do you expect to have that video up onto YouTube and so forth? And
That should be up latest by tomorrow, probably.
Okay. So if people email me, they can get that. We'll send it out, obviously, on our normal listserv, but I think it's going to be a very interesting video project to see the reactions of some young adults and you know, and what they think about Columbus and what they were taught about Columbus, and even get their reactions from you on camera, those that were traditionally educated about Columbus in I guess the traditional manner, which is the lies, how they take that information from you when you kind of just pull the veil up and uncover the real Columbus, as right. You know, as they say, you know, expose, you know, the king's goods, so to speak. You know, so I really want to thank everyone who tuned in today to this program. You know, it's we're coming to an end very, very soon. But look at Columbus as the tip of the iceberg. You know, what that parent was doing, the one that called in, what she did with her son, that gift that she gave her son, it's you know, and she alluded to it, that it wasn't just Columbus Day. She, you know, there's probably large swaths of information that she gave her son that directly contradicted what he got in the classroom. We all have to take it upon ourselves, even those of us that are not parents. If you're not a parent, as they say, each one reach one, we need to reach as many folks as we can, young and older, and give them the full spectrum of information. So, okay, George Washington is known as, you know, one of the so-called founding fathers. That is George Washington. Yes, he's on the dollar bill. But giving the full spectrum, letting folks know that George Washington also owned, if that's possible, but held against their will, over 300 Africans. 300 black people were held against their will by George Washington. And he owned them as slaves because the trifling, shiftless individual he was, along with their other slaveholders, did not want to do work on land that they stole themselves. So they put these African people to work and literally, in many cases, worked them to death. Women were raped, and the story goes on and on and on. So telling that story, and yes, hopefully people will ask that question, well, why is he on the dollar bill? Why is Andrew Jackson, if he was a vile individual himself, a killer of Native Americans, a slave owner himself, why is he on a $20 bill? We can go on and on, but many of these founding fathers, many of the so-called founding fathers, they were slave owners. And to tell people that, you know, when they bring up that whole counter-narrative, well, you know, they just did it because that was the name of the game at that time. People owned slaves, you know, the elites, you know, they owned slaves, and that was just, you know, they were just doing what was in society at the time. Well, that's not the case. They knew what they were doing was wrong because there were also individuals, there were, you know, even individuals that were white, that were Europeans, you know, or from European extraction, you know, such as Thomas Paine and William Lloyd Garrison, who were you know, saw slavery as an abomination, as anti-human being, as inhumane. They saw it as something that needs to be abolished, cast off. You know, these individuals, they knew it was wrong. John Brown, didn't he know it was wrong? Yeah, they knew it was wrong. So George Washington, they didn't give a damn. Like, within their skewed world, you know, doing these things to Africans was acceptable because Africans were like dogs to them. They were less than human being. And you can do these kind of things to people that are less than human being. We're going to domesticate them. We're going to domesticate them and work them like animals. You know, so these narratives, so be very, very critical of who you attach as which historical figure you attach or figures that you attach as your heroes, and be very, very careful in terms of who you pass on to your kids as historical figures, because the history is flawed. It is flawed, and has been taught in a revisionist way, has been taught in a Eurocentric way that benefits the European, and even with our own heroes and sheroes, we see how they limit their lives, like the great Dr. Martin Luther King. They teach it as if he died in 1963, continuing to only quote over and over again you know, his historic speech in August of 1963, as if he died that you know what I'm saying, and quoting him even incompletely within that speech. And never do they tell you about the speech he gave April 4th, 1967, where he called the United States government the greatest purveyor of violence on the face of the earth. And in 2012, what has changed? America, or the United States, is still the greatest purveyor of violence on the face of the earth. It is still. So we have to take it in our hands, in our own hands. Like the woman that called earlier, she took it into her own hands and said, you know what, I am going to teach him at home. So I am going to make sure that, you know, yes, he goes to school, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. When he comes home, I'm going to make sure that he gets the complete panoramic view and narrative of history. So, Tim, I'll turn to you, but people, listen, Columbus Day should not exist in any sane and humane society. And what I say by that, so you don't have to read between the lines, I am saying that the United States of America is not a sane or humane society. Yes, I am saying it.
I
can't say read my words because you can't see me. But if you could, read my lips. America is not a humane society. It is not. It's far from that. There is work for those of us who are social justice practitioners who give a damn about not just improving society here, but knowing that if we improve society here, make it more humane here, that lives overseas will not be lost. That by making America more just and humane society, that we prevent lives from being lost, you know, overseas or in different places, you know, where America's bombs and you know, G.I. Joe warriors kill indiscriminately. All right? So it's you change the sphere of society here in the U.S., and you can literally make the world a better place simply by preventing other people from suffering because of what's being done here in the U.S. and in its government. Tim, what do you got to say as we close up?
All I can say is for our listeners, I beg them to please share this information as widely as possible, since that is the only way that we can achieve that better world that you were talking about and come to an abolishment of the holiday. But I also want to encourage our listeners on a more positive note to use this day to learn more about indigenous people, that history that's not taught in the educational system, and to self-educate themselves about contributions and lifestyles that indigenous people had and to a certain extent still have today that they will not be taught about by the corporate media.
And I think we have we have time for one more call. Caller 314, did you have a comment or a question or something?
Well,
you want
you know, I've been seeing, listening to this issue come up, you know, time and time again. As I indicated in the chat room, Ivan Van Sertman appeared before Congress back in 1976. I think it was a 500-year anniversary of this nation's forming. And Congress at that time, the committee that he, congressional committee that he appeared to and testified about being taught that Columbus discovered America, and they agreed that he didn't discover America. But, you know, as long as you are sending your children to schools that are paid for by states and government, they're going to continue to teach them. Look what's going on in Arizona. What are they doing away with ethnic studies in your public university? You know, minorities, blacks, are going to have their own schools if you want to have this readily taught as it's supposed to be. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, people like yourself have to continue to put out, you know, truthful information.
Thank you so much for that call. That's a great point that you bring up, and a great piece of information. And hopefully folks will take the time to read some of Ivan Van Sertima's work, like They Came Before Columbus. You know, that's an awesome piece of information. Thank you for calling in. So, I really appreciate that, brother, for calling in and sharing that information about Ivan Van Sertima and his testifying before Congress in 1976 and, telling the truth about Columbus. I really, really appreciate that, brother, for calling. Thank you so, so much. And that will do it for this show. And Tim, I just wanted to, thank you once again and looking forward to doing that, or seeing that piece that you're going to put together. And folks that want to remain in contact, please like the show and follow the show so that you're updated with each new show that we do. And if you want to email us, like I said, solo, S-O-L-O, at yourworldnews.org. And if there's a topic in the future that you want to have covered or something like that, please, that's why we call it Your World News. This is for you. This is Your World News. This is community radio, podcast, whatever you want to call it, at its essence, opening our airwaves to the community to discuss and expose issues that the corporate media and mainstream airwaves and mainstream outlets throughout the U.S. Simply suppress every chance they get. So last but not least, we're going to let The Coup take us out. And I like this song. I'm just going to have it. It's a hip-hop song, and it's The Coup out of the Bay Area. Just because there's a line in this song where he says, and I'd like to say, fuck Columbus. So I'm going to play this piece. It's called Dig It by The Coup. And if you're wondering what the relevance is, listen. As a song, it's a great song, but as it goes, you'll see, towards the end of the song. And I'd like to say, fuck Columbus. And I'd like to repeat that. If you're listening right now, Columbus, fuck you. May you continue to burn in hell somewhere special called hell, along with all the men that committed those atrocities and that took so many precious lives off this planet. The precious lives of those indigenous people who should have never, ever lost their lives, period, and certainly not in that manner. May we all, on this day and every second Monday going forward, may we all, send our prayers and blessings out to those people who lost their lives and our prayers and blessings out to the indigenous people who continue to just subsist in really a very inhumane conditions, called reservations. Let their sacrifices, let their deaths not be in vain. We have work to do. We have work to do to make this a better society. We got work to do, starting with each one of us. Thank you for Tim Bottoff lynching. This is Solomon Kamajan, and most importantly, this is Your World News.
Welcome. navigate trap ground with the situation.
Broken up calluses,
cause it's written dialectical analysis. So how is this we never had no funk until you found out that our trunks are revolutionary, huh?
Sure.
Bump you over like dominoes, rat.
So free Geronimo, you jack a prick.
Lyrics, hear it, lyric, can't get near it. Got a sample, didn't clear it. Point blank says, 5-0, that's the spirit. Hear it. Spat out the fact that I consumed, knew that I was doomed since my date of birth to be the wretched of the earth. Never had a dream that was American.
They go to Lake Cherokee.
Disparagus.
But that ain't nothing new.
Told the streets where they would go, whoever paid that.
Got minimum wage, got two.
Yeah, and we out, y'all.